You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We about to party, unrestricted, got the house now, we gonna turn it up.
AEW Unrestricted, Will Washington. It's Aubrey Edwards. How are you, Aubrey?
I'm doing great. It's such an exciting time. I've somehow gotten enough sleep after all of the craziness that was Revolution. What an exciting show. What an emotional show. Absolutely nuts. I don't know how we keep outdoing ourselves with pay-per-views, but somehow we did it.
We did it. And it feels like a whole new era of AEW all of a sudden.
Right.
We've got new Dynamite. We've got new Rampage. We have got the feeling, Aubrey. Have you gotten the feeling?
I've had the feeling, but the feeling's been renewed. It's there. I love it. We're just killing it on TV. I love everything that's happening. I love all the storylines we have in play. I love that we've got all of these awesome women's matches happening on TV. I love that we've got big business happening.
This is just going to be such a cool time. And I'm so looking forward to everything we've got going forward.
We've just got so many good things happening in AEW constantly. And from both an on-screen persona, but as someone backstage seeing all of these people's success, it's been so cool to see everyone just thriving and taking a hold of these opportunities and just finding all of this success. And speaking of which, Will, who do we have today?
Hate to play favorites here, but it's one of my personal favorites here in AEW. And I'm so glad that he recently was given the All Elite treatment. He is the one and only bounty hunter, Brian Keith.
I'm here to rip faces off.
Oh, no. Oh, dear Lord. It's too early for that.
I wake up ripping faces off.
I need at least two cups of coffee before I can rip a face off. So I commend your energy right out of the gate, sir.
I am so glad we have you here. I'm so glad that we get to talk to you and have you here in AEW officially. As a matter of fact, I want to start there. It start with the fact that not too long ago, you got the All Elite graphic. You got the All Elite treatment. You had big match with Eddie Kingston. That was, of course, on the February 3rd Collision post-match. You were greeted by Tony Schiavone, and you've got the All Elite graphic right there on the screen. That was in Edinburgh, Texas. That's right. I was right there with you. I saw we were in the airport, and you were guiding me through buying Whataburger breakfast. but yeah, so tell me about that night. Tell me about everything that happened leading up to that and how that moment felt.
It was a dream come true, man. I've been wanting to wrestle Eddie Kingston for forever. I was supposed to wrestle him three other matches that got canceled or just didn't happen or something like that. So the anticipation for me wrestling him was super high. And then, like you said, I'm coming off the tour, going to DDT in Japan, another place that I've dreamed of going for my whole life. I knew it was going to be a great time in Japan, but it exceeded every expectation. I experienced everything, even experienced an earthquake for the first time. That was wild. Very crazy time. Yeah.
Oh, I have all the questions about your Japan experience. We'll get there.
We'll get there. But yeah, so... and then, just leading up to me having the work, having the match with Hangman, having the match with Orange Cassidy and all the other opportunities I had with ROH and AEW. And those were just opportunities that fell into my lap because, my friend here, Will Washington, was keeping me in close knit, letting me know when opportunities would come around, I was just blessed that I was able to go and capitalize on every opportunity that was given to me, every chance that I got. And it all led up to this one moment wrestling Eddie Kingston in, of all places, Texas territory. And the fans were hot. They were wanting it. And you know how we do it in Texas, man. Fans like the wrestling super hard hitting in your face, very electric, very exciting. And I believe that that's what me and Eddie Kingston delivered that night. A Texas barn burner, man. Classic match.
I was not expecting the fans to be, I know every time we're in Texas, I'm almost like pleasantly surprised at just how hot the fans are in that particular area. But when we were in Edinburgh, which is just outside of McAllen, it was just this raw energy with these fans. They were so loud from the opening match. And I'm talking about before Collision, before Ring of Honor, just our opening dark matches. Everything was just hot, hot, hot from the very beginning. They were super electric for you guys. They were giving you and Eddie every single thing they had. I think it made that moment for you that much more hot. Just it felt like it was on fire. How did you feel with those particular fans in that area?
Man, it was great. And what's even crazier is that McAllen is like, there's not too much wrestling that happens in McAllen. You know, there's not too many indie companies that run out of McAllen or even around that area. It's kind of like far out the way. I guess it's like 6 hours away from me. I'm in Houston. And for them to be that hot, you know, of course they're that hot because there's not so much wrestling, but for them to, so many people to show up and pack that arena the way it was, it's like, it just shows you, you know, that for that to be a lighter Texas area, a lighter Texas city where wrestling doesn't happen as much there, that much energy was still coming out of, you know, just a lighter Texas crowd. And, you know, when you go into Houston, Dallas, Austin, these bigger places, the crowds are hot, you know, they're just as excited too. And it's Texas, we love wrestling, man. If you think of like so many great wrestlers that have came out of Texas, Booker T, Mark Henry, Von Erichs, freaking the Funks, Stan Hansen, just everybody, man. Paul London, freaking Brian Danielson even wrestled in Texas for a while, you know? So it's definitely a place where we love our wrestling. There's like, what, football?
I feel like it's football.
Baseball.
Football too. And barbecue.
And barbecue too. And then wrestling. And so, yeah, we love it, man. It's amazing.
I want to go back a little bit and talk about sort of your first introduction to the AEW audience. I don't remember where it was. I'm sure Will remembers off the top of his head. But I remember that day hearing about how we were giving you a pre-tape. And then you had a match.
That was in Chicago, wasn't it?
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was like, Will's going to know.
But I know exactly why that was. You wrestled Hangman Adam Page.
Yep.
Which makes so much sense in the world. You have the bounty hunter. You have the cowboy. Like, oh, so great.
I remember getting to tell you about that. I remember breaking it to you and your face. your face when you're like, I'm wrestling who?
Yeah.
Former world champion. No big deal.
So I remember getting to tell you about that, but I distinctly remember where it was, mainly because of conversations we had had before that, where we had been trying to find like where the right place for you was going to be and when you were going to be in the same place we were, and you happened to have dates in Chicago All Out Week. Mm-hmm. That's what it
yep.
was. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's talk about that night, that week, and what everything led up to that week.
Man, like you said, I had other dates that week for, you know, just wrestling on my own. And a lot of the times, just being so busy like that, it gets overwhelming because you're like, man, not only do I have, you know, all these indie dates that I got lined up, I got a big opportunity lined up. I don't really know what's to expect of it. It's my first time. It was my first time even doing AEW work, period. It was overwhelming, but at the same time, very calming because everybody knew who I was. And, you know, I was getting this opportunity where it was pretty much specified for me. Like, yes, I'm coming in as the bounty hunter, a guy that I am, I created, I built myself. And not only am I coming in as myself, I'm acknowledged as, hey, you know what would be a good fit for you? Going against our Hangman Adam Page. And I'm like, bro, that's like, it's perfect. It couldn't happen any more perfectly. And like, it was honestly unreal for me, but at the same time, like I said, very calming because it made it seem like, you know what? Like, I feel like I'm wanted here, and not only am I wanted here, I'm put in a position where I have the capability, the opportunity to just kill it and be a part of everything else. So, like, I was happy, man. I remember just walking away that night, just, like, taking it all in and be like, man, this is, like, the culmination of me wrestling 13, 14 years and just, you know, finally being able to feel and be myself and not only be myself, but be appreciated for who this, what I've created for myself these past years. So it was definitely a blessing, man.
So that's the thing I love. And I love your outlook about it, because I feel like in order to, like, air quotes, make it, it's a combination of opportunity and talent and hard work and all of those things. And you've got the talent, you've got the hard work. It's just a matter of where is the opportunity coming from. Mm-hmm. And as you said, like AEW extra talent work, it's always kind of like you're showing up, you have no idea what you're doing. You might end up filling a seat. You might running like memory cards for the camera guys, like who knows, what, security, like you have no idea what you're doing. And then to be thrown an opportunity and to thrive in that opportunity was so cool to see, because admittedly, I was somewhat familiar with you, but I hadn't seen a lot of your work. But as soon as someone is given like, oh, we have this extra here who's given a pre-tape. Okay, this guy's legit. Like, I just immediately know, and I trust everyone who's in charge of creative, that they're like, okay, no, they know what they're doing. This is awesome. This is freaking great. And then watching the match, I'm like, this guy's awesome. They didn't make you change your character at all. They made you just be you. And it was so incredible to watch that success story take place. And as soon as it was done, I was like, oh, this guy's going to be here eventually. But it's just a matter of time. Like, we just got to find the spot. It's great. So congrats, man. That was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, it was funny. I'll even pull a little bit back on that one. A little bit of backstory is that you and I had been talking for quite some time. I'm going to give credit to one person who I think deserves the most credit for getting you here, is anybody. And that was Darius Martin.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Who came to me one day. I can't remember what city we were in, but we were outside a hotel. And Darius Martin comes up to me and he goes, what's it going to take to get Brian Keith in here?
Yeah.
So we were trying to coordinate schedules. And I asked you where you were going to be that lined up with where we were going to be. And I sent you our travel dates or our tour dates. And then you were like, well, I'm going to be in Chicago on this week. And I was like, okay, come to the show that week.
Yeah.
That was where Tony Khan walked in that day. You know, of course, when Tony walks into the arena, he, of course, has to pass by all the extras. And he saw you there.
Hell yes.
When he comes into the creative room, immediately he's like, we got to get Brian Keith on TV. I didn't know he was going to be here. Because for some reason, I had forgotten to mention that. I had literally forgotten, and everything that I was and getting you set and getting you squared away and getting you here, I had forgotten to actually say something to the boss that you were going to be here.
Just that one critical element. No big deal.
Yeah, that one critical element. And so he walked in, saw you with the extras, and was like, he's going to be on TV tonight. And that's it. And so, like, Tony deserves more credit than anybody, as this is his company. But literally, it was Tony Khan that saw you and said, he's going to be facing Hangman Adam Page tonight. In some capacity, he's going to face Hangman Adam Page. Tony Khan was the one who had the vision for that. And that was, and it was almost like, if nothing else is happening tonight, it is Hangman Adam Page versus Brian Keith.
Yeah, that was phenomenal, man. Shout out to Tony. Shout out to Darius for sure. That's my brother, man. It's been a blessing. It's been an honor, man. And AEW is like, it's life-changing for me, man. Ever since I joined, man, it's been nothing but up, just positivity, creativity. Everything's been fun, man, and I'm excited to get started, man.
Well, we are so excited to have you here, and I think there's so much more we could talk about. We've got so many other stories that we can get to with your career, and it's all going to happen right here when AEW Unrestricted continues.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
AEW Unrestricted, Will Washington, Aubrey Edwards, and the bounty hunter, Brian Keith here, one of our newest additions to the AEW roster. He's had an incredible run so far, and I'm so excited to see his trajectory in this company and his growth after all of the grinding he's been doing on the indies for years. I think you had mentioned in our first segment, you've been wrestling for 14 years?
Yeah, about 13, 14 years, yep.
Wow! So what was your introduction to wrestling like?
So my uncle used to babysit me while my parents were working, and he would throw on old Coliseum VHS tapes. And that was like my introduction to wrestling, was watching those VHS tapes. And I just remember my mom always not wanting me to watch them, because she was just like, why are you showing him this? He shouldn't be seeing that. And little did she know, in the midst of me watching those VHS, I got bit by the wrestling bug and just never let it go. So since like I was like 10 or 11 years old, I was always like, man, when I grow up, I want to be a professional wrestler. I remember they had career day at school, and like everybody supposedly every day picked like fireman and policeman and stuff. And the guys were like, man, you're the first kid today to pick professional wrestler. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he was like, I got something special for you. Guy comes back with like a tag team championship, and they throw a backdrop behind me, and it was like Macho Man in the NWO colors. Like, is it me and him were coming out to the ring together? And I was like, bro, this is amazing. So like, you know, 10-year-old me doing like the Rock's eyebrow and like, you know, this is so cozy. Getting ready for what was about to happen. But I have like a picture of me in my house of like, I'm Brian, you know, Keith, when I grow up, I want to be a professional wrestler. I'm 10 years old. My favorite thing to do is play PlayStation 2 and stuff like that. So
I also like, just to interject, how this whole conversation has dated you, because you've said PS2 and VHS tapes.
I'm an old man, but kind of not really. I'm a young man, but an old man.
We're kind of all the same age at this point. I'm picking up on that. Anyway, continue.
Yes, yeah. Around 11, 12 years old, I started seeing there was a company around Houston called PWA. At the time, it was
PWA. Yeah, shout out to PWA, behind the bowling alley. Yeah.
yeah.
My former co-host on my first podcast I did was from Houston, and he used to be just one of the regulars at PWA. He was always at PWA shows, and he would always talk about, he'd always do his Booker T impersonation, and he'd be like, come see us right behind the bowling alley. And so like, yep. I've always had that stuck in my head with PWA shows, and it's something I've never gotten. Shout out Paul Griffin.
Yeah, heck yeah. So that was my first introduction to just wrestling, period. Like, my I never went to any of the bigger shows because, you know, my parents just didn't have time. They were always working. So I would go with a friend of mine that was a neighbor, and we would go to the PWA shows. And one time, his parents couldn't take us. So my friend, he was like 12, and he drives. So
very Texas.
We're going to take the van, and we're going to drive up to PWA and watch some wrestling. So we watched the show. We left the lights on in the van, and the battery died in the van. So we just were stuck, and we had to get our parents, well, his parents, to come and get me, because my parents didn't know. My parents found out about this like 4 years ago. I just told them about it. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't tell that story too much. But his parents were going to come pick us up, and who was the person there to help us for, you know, for us to wait there as minors? It was Booker T. He was sitting there signing autographs and just waiting with the fans afterwards. And I came up to him and was like, hey, you know, let him know the situation. And he let us stay there until our parents got there and just visit with the wrestlers and stuff. And after it was done, we were like, man, one day we're going to come back and we're going to wrestle for you. And then on my journey, you know, I started at a place called Texas All-Star Wrestling here in Houston, Texas. Wrestled there for like a good 3 or 4 years, and then eventually went to PWA, which was Booker T's Reality of Wrestling, which is now. And I'm one of the trainers there now. So it's kind of like full circle for me to just meet him, have that interaction with him, and not only tell him, hey, am I going to come back and wrestle for you? The same building that happened in, I won my first championship for his promotion in a steel cage match. So that was even crazier. You know, even now, you know, he's definitely a mentor to me, but more of like a family member at this point. You know, he's definitely been there at all points of my career, even now with the signing and everything, and been super supportive and super knowledgeable of everything. And it's crazy, man. It's definitely, my life is like a movie. You know, every day I wake up and I'm like, wow, I just can't believe it. I'm pinching myself because, you know, just all of everything has led me to what it is I'm living out now. So
yeah, I love that Booker, in everything, considering he is absolutely signed somewhere else, has been so supportive of you. Like, literally, I was not expecting him, when you had the match with Hangman, to tweet our graphic with the hashtag signed Brian Keith.
Yeah, he said, give that man that contract.
Yeah, give that man that contract. And, like, that's cool. Like, he's literally on the other show, and he's promoting our product and telling us, hey, you got to sign Brian Keith. Like, I thought that was great, and I thought that was a move he probably didn't have to do, but it kind of showed how supportive he's been of your career.
Definitely. He's always been super supportive and always there for me to ask questions or just learn stuff from. Literally, the guy I am today, the wrestler I am today, is because of the good Lord upstairs and Booker T, you know, God has graced me with the opportunity, and Booker T has given me the knowledge, and I've just been able to use it all. So,
well, let's talk about the character, the bounty hunter. That came from a suggestion from Booker?
Yeah, that was exactly from Booker. You know, I'm from Texas, so I love the Von Erichs, love the Funks, love Stan Hansen. So what did I come up with? I'm going to be a cowboy. You know, I'd come out with like a lumberjack shirt and a cowboy hat. And, you know, it was more like Japanese strong style meets Texas strong style. And I just mixed them together. I was had the influence of the Japanese style, but just the representation of Texas. And I just remember him being like, I like what you got, but it just needs something more. It needs something with a stamp on it. And the way he presented it to me was there's a show called The Rifleman, and it has Sammy Davis Jr. in it. And Sammy Davis Jr. is a bounty hunter. He's a black bounty hunter. And he was like, man, I've never really seen a black bounty hunter in wrestling before. You know, I think it's something you should try out. He never really gave me like a clear direction to go with or something to do. But he was always like, hey, watch this, or hey, look at this. And the more research I started doing, it was even crazier because my dad is like a huge fan of cowboy pictures. He loves cowboy films. Whenever he was younger, he's from California, and all he would do was just, you know, sneak into the theaters with his brothers, and they'd go watch cowboy films the whole day. My dad really is the one who pressed me to start watching like Tombstone, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly trilogy, Once Upon a Time in the West, all like these like classic Western films. My dad was pushing on me and was like, hey, man, you know, I watch those films all the time. You should take a look. And he's right. My dad would watch those films all the time when I was younger. And I'd be like, oh, why are you watching this? I want to watch wrestling, you know. But it's kind of crazy, like full circle nowadays, those films that he was watching that I thought were boring and stuff, like they're masterpieces, man. I go back and I watch now and I'm like, man, these films are great. Like, I don't even watch movies, bro. The only thing I do is play PlayStation, workout, and watch wrestling. That's all I do. But, you know, every now and then I throw in a little cowboy film just to relax and, you know, kick it with my family and watch that stuff. But it's wild how those movies just like tell such intricate stories for you to just be immersed in for so long. You know, some of these cowboy films are like 3 hours long, and they're the whole time I'm on the edge of my seat. So I like to draw things from those and just like learn so much from them, because as far as like just media goes, like entertainment, you know, they're really great things to get behind. So
what was the thing that clicked to go from cowboy to bounty hunter?
It was a mix of me just mixing everything that I love. So like I said, I'm in love with Japanese professional wrestling. So I had that as like a foundation. And then I had the Westernness that I was learning from my father or from Booker T that was, you know, throwing out these suggestions. Then I worked at Hot Topic for a while, and I got into hardcore music, like metal music, so much. Like before I worked at Hot Topic, I was only a strictly rap guy. All I listened was rap, R&B a little bit. But I started working at Hot Topic when I was in like 10th grade, and ended up being a manager and working there for forever. I just got so in love with hardcore and metal music. So I just started pulling, you know, stuff from that world and, you know, the more darker tones and things. And then, of course, me being from Texas and being a wrestler, you know, Undertaker is a guy that he's the reason, honestly, that I liked wrestling. When my uncle put in the VHS Coliseum tape, it was Undertaker with the Vulture on his arm is what got me. And I was like, man, that dude is so cool. I want to be like that guy. And like, it's crazy. Just like full circle. Here it is now. I'm the supernatural bounty hunter. You know, like Undertaker was just a supernatural dead man, but it was a gunslinger. And that's what I, you know, homage to Undertaker is, you know, a possessed bounty hunter is what I like to call myself, you know. But it's just taking all these things and putting them together, mixing also the Houston culture. I was on the indies wrestling, and I remember once I had different music, but nothing really clicked. And then one time someone was playing Steel Tippin' before a wrestling show, Switcher House, and I'm sponsored by Switcher House, only sponsored Switcher House athlete ever.
Which is one of the next questions, by the way. So
we could talk about it all.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it all. So we're going to get there for people waiting for the Switcher House story.
Yeah. So they played it before one of the shows, and just fans reacted to it so well. And I was like, man, maybe I'm going to come out Steel Tippin' tonight. And when it hit, man, it just hit perfectly. And it went with my character and everything. And like just the grittiness of Texas and like the almost like the grittiness of my matches. You know, I like to be very hard hitting and just in your face. And it just like the song Steel Tippin' when it hits, it just banger as soon as it hits. You hear the little violin, you know, it kind of creeps you in, but then once the freaking Slim Thug hops in and, you know, just starts first verse right out the gate, it just gives you that gritty Houston energy. So I was just mixing that Houston culture mixed with the Japanese culture, mixed with the metal culture and Texas culture, just all that little melting pot is what creates Brian Keith the Bounty Hunter.
Well, let's talk about Swisha House.
Yes.
You've gotten to use Still Tippin both in Ring of Honor and on AEW TV, which I thought was just such a cool moment. There's probably an untellable story of how that all came to be. but it was so cool that we got to do that. Getting to use it, particularly in Texas.
Yeah.
It's one of those songs, I think pretty much anywhere you play it, everybody knows it. But in Texas, it's going to get a pop.
It's the anthem, baby. You got to stand up and put your hand over your chest.
As soon as it hit, everybody goes nuts. There's such a big pop. I remember it was so loud, I didn't hear what song had played when it played, but I just hear the crowd going nuts. And I was like, wow, that was really loud. And then once they start to come down, I'm like, oh, Brian Keith is coming out. And it was great. It was, again, just a really cool moment. But I want to talk about how the Swisha House relationship came to be and how that led to you using Still Tippin' as the song everybody associates with you.
The guys that create the Swisha House merchandise, you know, print everything, pack up. You know, if you're ordering stuff off the website, these are the guys sending it out to you. Those guys I grew up with. They're like my literally homies I grew up with from the neighborhood. And I've always known that they created the merchandise. I just never really, you know, I even help. I help press some of the stuff, everything, CDs and everything, sell some stuff. Doing this in the midst of, you know, my indie schedule, working everything for years, man. One day we were hanging out and I was like, man, you know, it'd be cool to be like sponsored by Swisha House, like an athlete, like a, you know, sponsored athlete, Swisha House. I'm thinking of like NASCAR, you know, where you get the jacket and they got the patches on it. And I'm just like, man, that'd be cool to come out with like the old school All Japan, like Capital jacket, but they had a Swisha House patch on it, you know, like, and that's just me thinking like to myself, being a mark for myself.
But someone has to be.
If somebody's going to be a mark for myself, I should be, right? So I was, you know, I pitched it to him and my friend was like, man, look, we'll just ask G-Dash. G-Dash is the guy who owns the company. He owns a piece of the company. He ran it by him and then they got back to me maybe like a week later and they were like, yeah, man, I think he wants to go through with it. And I just remember, man, I was like so happy, dog. Like they gave me a bunch of like Swisha House shirts, hoodies, hats, beanies, everything, like as far as like a little, like almost like a signing package, sent it to me. And, you know, we made a big deal of it on social media. And just I remember popping on social media, but then, you know, wrestling's kind of iffy. So people were just kind of like, I don't think this guy really signed by Swisha House. You know, a lot of people just make claims on the internet. And it was like, you know, we'll see what's up. But I feel like that's something you can't really go lying about. You know, you're throwing out Swisha House's name like that in Texas, amongst, you know, people that are, I'm in the rap, I'm not in the rap community because I'm not a rapper myself, but you know, Texas is big, but it's very small. So if you're trying to find somebody that you're looking for, you can run into them easily. So I wouldn't just be out here laying claim to something like that, just, you know, falsifying or whatever. But it's been really cool, man, because like they'll have community events, like they'll do fundraisers or they'll do concerts or, you know, just regular pop-ups where they sell merchandise and they allow me to come through and sign autographs and have people take pictures with the championships that I may have and stuff like that. So it was like, it was a real cool taste of just like what wrestling was going to be like for me before getting to the stage where I'm at now, you know, like, and for them to just take me in and allow me to be part of the Swisha House family and be, like I said, again, part of the event. Some of these guys are pulling up as like, what is a rap event? What is that guy over there sitting with that wrestling championship at the table for or whatever? But I just feel like it was a cool opportunity for us to merge both crowds, because a lot of the times, you know, that's untapped potential. People don't really understand it. Wrestling and rapping go hand in hand, you know, especially like the grinding part of it all, like having your own mixtape or your own merchandise and selling it out the back of your trunk. That's what Swisha House was known for. It was like just grinding. If you don't work, you don't eat. You don't grind, you don't shine. So like they were always selling their merchandise out of their trunks or selling CDs, you know, giving away CDs. And honestly, that's the same for me as a professional wrestler. I'm always grinding, selling my merchandise, working out every day, doing what it takes to just make sure at the end of the day, you crossed all T's and dotted all I's. And you can say that when you make it, or even if you don't make it, you did everything you could to, you know, make that possible. So I just feel like that culture of the rap culture and the wrestling culture is so, it merges so well together just somehow, sometimes. And that actually, honestly, that's a big thing that AEW does so well. I feel like, you know, releasing the album AEW Rap, I want to say you guys like rap album and stuff like that.
Who We Are, Who We Are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And Who We Are Volume 2, by the way.
Exactly. It's Volume 2, and there's more opportunity for it. And it's showing people that when you're bringing these cultures together, it's just keeping both things alive, you know, because as far as entertainment goes, it's not the entertainment's not needed, but it's like, okay, well, whenever COVID happened, like, you know, people who were important were working because the world was, they needed them. Entertainment was still going because it was something to have people's mind, you know, take off people's minds and stuff like that. But it's like, things are so few and far between, you know, if it's not a necessity, it won't be around so much. But I feel like pushing into the people who support these things and allowing us to just tap into different cultures and different audiences and just giving that life and giving that love to something, it allows us to stay around longer and just have more success. And it's just better for everybody, man. Better for the whole business.
I'm freaking like just sitting here just enthralled by everything you're saying. And like so positive and so amazing. And there's so much more to talk about here on AEW Unrestricted.
AEW Unrestricted, Will Washington, it's Aubrey Edwards, but it's also the bounty hunter, Brian Keith. Brian, you talked about growing up and being a big fan of Japanese wrestling and incorporating that into your style. And one of the things we just touched on earlier in the show was that you got to take a trip to Japan, wrestling DDT. How was that experience for you? How was that full circle moment for you?
Man, yeah. First of all, shout out to my DDT boys. I love DDT with all my heart, man. Those guys are amazing. Showed me a great time, and I can't wait to go back and work with them. But like you said, I've been watching Japanese professional wrestling since I was like, I want to say since I was like 14, 13, because I didn't really know about it right out the gate. I only watched American wrestling. I remember my first introduction to Japanese wrestling, though, was watching Bryan Danielson versus Jushin Liger.
What a way to start. Oh, my God.
Who is this guy that looks like a Power Ranger? I was like, man, he is giving Bryan Danielson the business, dog. Because at the time, Bryan Danielson was my favorite wrestler. You know, 14 years old, 15 years old. That's the guy I was watching, you know, because he was just ripping it up everywhere. He was on a legendary indie run. So I dipped in further, found out about Jushin Thunder Liger, ended up just snowballing, finding more guys, Toshiaki Kawada, Tenryu, all these guys that now that I know as a older guy is like, man, these guys are legends. And I couldn't believe I was taking so long in my life to find out about them all. Even till this day, I found about so many guys that I didn't even know about, and they're just blowing my mind. I love Japanese professional wrestling. But this DDT opportunity came along, and shout out to my guy Shota. Shota at DDT is one of the guys that was showing me around, helping me out, helping me get the visa and get everything squared away so that everything could be legit. The opportunity to go to DDT came, and I ran to it, man, as quick as I could. It was a dream of mine to go to Japan, and I had expectations going in like, okay, this is going to be great. You're going to enjoy it. But everything that I experienced, everything that I went through, that I witnessed, just blew me out of the water way better than I thought. I was there for 2 weeks, but every day was like a dream, man. Literally every day I was waking up and I was like, man, I can't believe this is happening. I would wake up some days and forget I was in Japan and just like, oh, I'm waking up, you know, in the US and like, no, you're still in this hotel in Japan for 2 weeks. Every day I was gone from the hotel. I wasn't there, you know, hanging out or just chilling. You know, I brought my Switch just in case, you know, I'd be like to pass time, but I didn't even need it literally at all. Every day I was doing something different, seeing something different, eating something different. The food there is phenomenal. I didn't feel bloated after eating nothing. In fact, after eating all day and then walking, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd have abs, bro. And I was like, what is this life? What is this life I'm living, dog?
So I got to go to Japan is what you're saying. That's the secret.
It was amazing. You just got to eat a bunch of beef and rice and delicious other Japanese food and walk multiple times in a day. And you'll wake up freaking strong, baby. But I was enjoying every moment of it. I got to wrestle in Cork and Hall, definitely a legendary venue. Some of my favorite matches that I've watched in Japanese professional wrestling have taken place in Cork and Hall. For me to be there and present my package, what I have as a professional wrestler, to the people of Cork and Hall, and them to take it in and receive it well. I was tag teaming with Damnation, which is a tag team in DDT that's kind of like, it's crazy because they honestly have the same aesthetic as I do, literally. They're just not like cowboys or anything like that, but they're like super scary looking and their gear matched my gear. And I was like, bro, we're a match made in heaven, dog. But it was cool for us to just have that six-man in Cork and Hall. And then I had the one-on-one match with Mao, and it was a Prince Hotel, I think was the name of it. I don't know where it is in Tokyo, but we had the one-on-one. And I hate to just keep using the phrase dream come true, but when I'm watching these Japanese matches, usually the crowd's quiet. you hear, like, you know, cameras going off and people clapping and, like, you know, random Japanese women in the background screaming, like, people's names, like, Mao, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, this is exactly what was happening while the match was taking place between me and Mao. And, like, I was just like, I remember he gave me a Michinoku off the top rope. Bam! Big cover. 1, 2, I kick out. And I just remember taking a moment and just breathing and looking up the lights and being like, man, bro, like, I did get just dumped on my head, but I just got dumped on my head in the middle of Japan. And I just remember hearing all the, like, camera flicks go off and the women, Japanese women in the background, Mao, BK, like, just going off and, like, you know, the claps for whenever we do things ridiculously crazy. And it was definitely a dream come true, man. It was an opportunity and, like, an experience I'll always hold, you know, very close in my heart and my life, man. It was crazy.
You talk about your life being a movie, and it just, all of these stories feel very, very movie-like. The fact that at 12 years old, going to indie wrestling shows and getting the opportunity to work with Booker T, a guy that you had seen on TV, a Houston legend, all the way to getting to wrestle in Japan after that being one of your passions and your dreams, working with Swisha House. You know, we haven't even gotten to talk about the family life and the things at home. And how has this last year been for the entire family for you?
Man, it's been unreal, very unreal. Because a lot of the times, you know, my mom and my dad, not that they weren't supportive of wrestling, but they just didn't see it as a thing that was, like, possible, because they just didn't know anybody who was a wrestler. So they were like, every time I told them when I wanted to be a wrestler, they were like, oh, you know, great dream, kid, you know, like, like, they didn't know what it was going to take, but they were just always like, you know, like, oh, maybe you want to do something better, or oh, you want to do something different. And it was like, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep is the only thing on my mind, the only thing in my heart besides my family. It was just a dream I couldn't let go. When I was in school, man, I was a straight A student. I graduated number 22 out of 700 something kids, like, pretty freaking high. I could have went to any college I wanted to, full ride, if I pursued it. What did I choose to do? Go to community college, then go to wrestling and start. Literally, my mom was like, I was bugging her. I was 17 and I wanted to start. I was 16, 17, going to, like, some seminars, going to some practices. And I was like, I just want to do this wrestling thing. You know, I was getting ready to graduate and they were like, well, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And I remember telling them I wanted to go to Drexel University because it was the only university that I saw was close enough to Ring of Honor in Philadelphia. And I was like, well, I'll just go to Drexel, tell my parents I'm going to Drexel, but end up going to Ring of Honor and just train there. But when I told my parents about leaving out of state, they were kind of like, I don't think you should do that just yet. Maybe you want to stay somewhere that's close enough, you know, just so, you know, we can keep in contact and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just go to community college until I figure it all out. So I remember going to community college and doing, like, my first 2 years there, but still wrestling. And then wrestling just started taking off for me more. And I just started finding more and more jobs that would supplement my wrestling, just because I always knew, like, you know, everybody was like, oh, you always have to have a plan B. But I'm like, if I got a plan B, that's going to distract me from my plan A. I need to be full force in that plan A, so that I know I did everything I could to make it. I did everything I could to just make the opportunity happen for myself. Every job that I had, you know, I had great jobs to where they were like, hey, man, you know, we want to make you a boss. We want to make you a manager. We're thinking about doing this. And I'm kind of like, man, I do this thing on the weekends where, you know, I probably can't be around here too much often. But looking back on it, I'm glad I made every decision I did. I'm glad I bet it on me. And here I am now in All Elite Wrestling, ready to give everybody hell, man. Everybody.
So I love this story because, like, I feel like everything is full circle.
Yeah.
And everything is also just, like, the template for if you grind and you wait long enough and you put the time in and you dedicate all of your attention to yourself, eventually good stuff happens. And I love when good stuff happens to good people. And just, like, all of these little moments, like, one of my favorite moments was, I think it was a press conference for Wrestle Dream, but Brian mentions you as, like, this guy that's
crazy.
And it's funny to hear you talk about, like, oh yeah, Brian, like, this guy in Ring of Honor and indie run. And then all of a sudden this, like, friggin' legend is just mentioning you casually in a press conference.
Just to touch on that, not to interrupt you, but Bryan Danielson has been one of my favorite wrestlers since I was, like, 13, 14 years old. I have the first time Ring of Honor came to Houston ever. The first time they came was in the George R. Brown Convention Center. And I still got the program where he signed it for me. And not only did he sign my program, initially the main event was about to start and I saw him over to the side. So I ran over there and I had a PWI magazine. And I was like, man, I need Brian Danielson to sign my PWI magazine. Ran over there, asked him if he could sign it. And in the midst of me just like talking to him, ended up just shooting it, you know, with him. And he was like, hey, well, you want to watch the main event together? And I was like, heck yeah. Me and Brian Danielson are chilling while talking about wrestling, watching Jerry Lynn versus Nigel McGuinness go at it and ring.
Dude.
Up. Which is, again, just a full circle moment thinking about AEW.
It's crazy, man. Literally, the first time I cried in professional wrestling for somebody who wasn't me was like when he had to retire and he hurt his neck, you know, like that was like,
yep,
it was pretty serious because here's the dude that I like, you know.
I think all three of us cried at that moment, but only one famously, of us was on yes. camera doing it. Yeah, one,
famously,
one
yes.
very famously.
Yeah, and it just like, I just remember it touching me so much, man, because he was a guy that I watched and was just like, he made me feel like I could do it. Watching him was like, you know what, it's possible. You know, anything's possible as long as you put your mind to it. And amongst other guys that I would watch, but he was definitely a guy who I was, it just stuck in my mind. And of course, the different instances of meeting him, I met him there and I met him a couple of other times doing extra work at other companies where he worked at. And we were always cross paths, but never to the point now where he knows who I am. And I, of course, I know who the heck he is, but you know, now, you know, I'll see him backstage and he'll be like, oh, hey, Brian. I'm like, I'm always just like, bro, what? Dog, like, it's wild as hey, did the best wrestler in the world just talk to me right now? What the?
Yep.
But nah, it's cool, man. It's definitely a full circle moment. Like I said, I met him at the Ring of Honor taping in Texas for the first time. And, you know, eventually one day I'll be standing across the ring from him one day. So we'll,
oh, I can't
wait. We'll see. I can't wait.
Yeah, Will.
No, the gears have been turning the last, like, 3 minutes of this conversation thinking about, I'm just going to say this. You said you have that that program.
Yeah.
Bring that to TV one week.
Dude.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I am. I'm going to bring it, man. I got a bunch.
Like, the gears are turning right now. This has been amazing. This has been an incredible conversation. And I'm so glad that we got to do this. I'm so glad you got to be on AEW Unrestricted. I am so glad that Brian Keith is All Elite. It's been something that I think all of us have been waiting for a very long time. And this last year of getting to see you go from wrestling Hangman on Rampage to standing in the middle of the ring with Tony Schiavone and that graphic on the screen. And there's going to be so much more to come for Brian Keith here in AEW. And there's so much more AEW you can catch. AEW Unrestricted is available every Thursday on your favorite podcast platforms. And we've got video editions of the show available every Monday on our YouTube channel. AEW Dynamite airs every Wednesday on TBS, 8 p.m. We've got AEW Rampage every Friday at 10 p.m. We've got AEW Collision every Saturday, 8 p.m. on TNT. We've also got Ring of Honor available every Thursday. Watch ROH.com. That's available on Honor Club. This here has been AEW Unrestricted. I'm Will Washington. That's Aubrey Edwards, our special guest, Brian Keith. Thank you for being here. We will see you next time. Have a great day. Peace.
Bye.
Come on, throw your hands up, let me see you. Unrestricted.